Thank you, everybody, for the meeting and Amy for inviting me. Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic and my name is Carol, and I'm honored and grateful to be here. And I was given the gift of sobriety on May 1st, 1988, in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Glass House Group. And I currently live in South Florida, and I haven't had a drink since I came to you. And that's 38 years in one day, which is 13,880 days, one at a time. So all of you that are here, a couple of years ago when I shared at an online meeting after a young lady who was newly sober had asked me, she said, "How do you remember what it's like to be newly sober when you have a lot of years of sobriety?" And what I told her is, what I'm going to tell you right now is because every time I share my story, I remember what I was like when I got here, and I remember how I felt. And I don't feel the same anymore, but I need to remember how I felt and how I was when I got to you. And I feel like I should just change my name because I'm not even close to that person. See, I came to you and I thought I had a hateful, punishing God because I would make promises and then stuff would happen. And then I thought I'm being punished. And, when I was a little girl, my parents always told me God's going to punish me if I didn't listen to them, whatever it was. And so, I started drinking at 18 and I got sober at 37 and a half. I knew I had a problem when I was about 21. And somebody planted the seed of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, I didn't go to jail. I didn't get a DUI. I showed up for work and I listened for the differences. And I got sober at 37 and a half. In September, I was 75. So I'm sober half my life now. And I like this half a whole lot better. And if I knew that life would be good, see, I thought once I quit drinking, I'd never have fun again and life would be dull and boring and all that stuff, and it's been totally opposite. And I'm one of those big book enthusiasts. I love our book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But since I have limited time, I'm going to share just some of my story with you. I do apply the program of Alcoholics Anonymous steps, traditions, and concepts to my life, and I try to live this way the best I can, and I don't do it perfect. I came in, and what happened for me is I felt dirty and ashamed and guilty, and all the words that are in our big book that I didn't know what to put words to the feelings, but I felt bad because when I drank, I had no control over what I'm going to do and how much I'm going to drink and, how I'm going to show up somewhere. And I just didn't drink before work, and I'm one of the lucky ones. My story's in the big book, and it's called It Might Have Been Worse. It's in the section where it calls They Stopped in Time. And I came to you and I thought it was a hateful, punishing God. And you told me it was a spiritual program, not a religious program, and I could have any concept of a higher power I wanted. And I didn't even know what to call it because I couldn't say the word God when I got sober. I couldn't pick up a card if it had that word on it. But what happened for me is I'm going to tell you, I had been going to meetings, and at 2 weeks without a drink, I wanted a drink because those feelings hit. Now, my came to believe in this higher power was gradual. And some of it I got to see as I'm walking through it, and some of it I get to see looking back. The first time I was aware of some higher power, it was the looking back. And it took a while because what happened is I was coming to meetings, I read the Alcoholics Anonymous book, I was making coffee and setting up chairs, and that's what we did back then. Looking for women more scared than me and swapping phone numbers and making phone calls. But I hadn't started working the program yet. I didn't really have a sponsor yet. And the feelings hit. And I was at a meeting and I was going to walk out the front door and go drink. And what happened for me is when I was walking down the hall to go out the front door, a guy named John stopped me. And John asked where I was going. I told him I'm going to go drink because I don't like feeling this way. John said he had 2.5 years. He drank again. He just got back. It is not better out there. And he told me if I leave that meeting, I might not ever make it back because it's not a revolving door. And I've watched people go out and not come back. And I've watched some of them, even some of my sponsor have died because of this alcoholism. And so what I did is I listened to John and I went back in the meeting and I talked to the ladies afterwards, and I didn't know I was doing a fifth step with them. I just told them why I wanted to drink and how I felt and some of the things that happened to me. And they shared their story with me and said they did those things and some of those things happened to them too. And I don't ever have to feel that way ever again. And that these things that I did and the things that happened to me, that I'm going to be able to share with somebody else someday to save their lives like those ladies did for me. And that's some of the promises in the big book. Those deep, dark secrets of my past are a great possession to avert death and misery for others. The other first one I noticed is I was not quite a month sober, and somebody at a meeting said there's a woman who needs a meeting to her house. And I got her number and called her, and she became my first sponsor, and her name was Lois. And Lois was 22 years sober. She got sober in 1966. She had a third of a lung on oxygen, but confined to bed the last 7 years of her life because she had emphysema from smoking, and she became my sponsor. And she taught me about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I went to in-person meetings a lot, but a lot of my meetings were sitting on her bed. And those were some of the best meetings. You know, there's times in my life that I have not been able to get to an in-person meeting. And I am so grateful that she taught me how to stay sober by praying to this higher power, reading my literature, calling people, having a good support group that I can call, because it's not about going to meetings. They don't keep me sober. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous does. So that was another one looking back, you know. And Lois died. I had a year sober, and ended up getting another sponsor. But what Lois taught me is about trying to connect with this higher power. Some of the things that really helped me, and it's, you know, once again, it's these coming to believe in these little things that I got to be aware of. And one of them was changed the whole way I read my Alcoholics Anonymous book. I was really new, and somebody opened the meeting and was chairing it. And I remember who it was. And she read a portion of our Alcoholics Anonymous book. And we stop in when we read How It Works after ABCs, God could and would if God were sought, right? But what she did after that, she read the rest of the next two or three pages out loud in the first person. And it would start with being convinced. I'm at step three. What do I do? And it says, I am the actor and I want to set the stage, the play, the scenery. I want it to go my way. And it had a different impact than reading silently. Because see, what happens when I read silently is I don't remember what I read. My mind seems to wander. But when I read out loud, I seem to remember what I read, and it kind of sticks in my head better. And I had to find this higher power. So I would listen to people, and some people said God's their father, and God's their parent, and God's their best friend. And Lois taught me, you know, about I can't have a human higher power. I need to have a spiritual one. And that I could, Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous says it can be anything I want. It says either God's everything or nothing. What do I want it to be? And I can have my own concept of a higher power. And so what I found for me is I didn't want it to be a parent because mine were strict and harsh and they didn't always keep promises and they weren't always there for me. And I didn't want that for a higher power. So my higher power I've come to know through Alcoholics Anonymous, mine is gender neutral. It's masculine and feminine. It has lots of different attributes because I can draw on strength or courage or kindness or tenderness or whatever those are. And mine is so big and powerful, it can make it rain and have rainbows. And then it changes, you know, from light to dark. And I don't question it. I don't try to figure out what it is anymore. I just know it's not me. I don't question a lot of things. And so I don't question this higher power. And I used to invite God into my day because I heard a lot of people say they invite God into their day, but I don't do that anymore either. I invite myself into God's day. See, my day's small and humid and limited, and my best thinking gets me to Alcoholics Anonymous the way I told you I felt, and because of the things I did when I drank. And so now I invite myself into God's day, and I say, okay, God, however this is, whatever it is, however it goes, I get a lesson and an experience to grow through to share with somebody else someday. And Lois taught me a lot about prayers because my only prayer I knew when I got to you is, God, you know, get me out of this. I promise I won't do it again. And Lois said, well, you know, the first day or two I met her, I sat on her bed and we were talking about if I'm an alcoholic or not. See, if I didn't have her in my life for my first year of sobriety, I probably wouldn't have the same thing I have now. She was in bed for 7 years. She had a calmness and a stillness and a serenity. And I can't do that, even staying in bed after surgery for a week or two. I'm ready to get out and do stuff, right? And now, but she taught me the foundation. She taught me about finding this higher power. And it's not AA approved, but if you're having trouble with a higher power concept, I'm sharing this because maybe it'll help you like it helped me. She had this poem in her big book, and it's called I Am There by James Dillett Freeman. And the Apollo 15 astronauts put it on the moon. And it's just a bunch of one-liners, like, if you deny me, I'm there. And if you need me, I'm there. Well, it helped me a whole lot. And so I just said, whatever you are, is what I called it at first. Whatever you are, let me know you're working in my life. And then I would just watch for how this higher power's working in my life. And like I told you, some of it was looking back, like John stopping me. I know a lot of people use the word relapse now, but when I got sober, that wasn't a term we used. We used slip. People had a slip, which meant sobriety lost its priority. And so I have to keep sobriety as a priority. And I had read something in it, and I had to equate my alcohol as a can of Drano poison. And I never got to where I'd drink a drain cleaner. And so I had to say alcohol is not a beverage. And one of the stories in our Alcoholics Anonymous book, it talks about that. It says, alcohol, I can't fondle it like I would a pet. It's going to claw me to death. And I know that. So I would say, drinking is not an option for me. What are options? Praying, reading my Alcoholics Anonymous book, making phone calls. One of the things Lois taught me is get in the habit of making phone calls. She said, if I get in the habit and I call people when things are okay, when I need to call somebody because of something happening, whether it's happy to share or tough to share, it's more automatic to pick up a telephone. And that's been really good. So she gave me a foundation, and I'm going to tell you the things she taught me is still what I do. I was told every time I go through something that I haven't been through before, I'm a newcomer, and I go through a lot. I've been through a lot of stuff sober. I had parents and a husband and a brother pass away. I've had cancer and a lot of surgery, and I've had great joys of going to five international conventions. I have friends all over the world. I get to go in my camper van and travel and get God stories and experiences. And last year I got to go to a conference in Tennessee and met some of the online people and speakers. So I just keep watching for how God's showing up. And it sounds silly, but on the top of page 100, it's one of my favorite pages. And I told you I read my Alcoholics Anonymous book out loud because I remember what I read. And those are things that really helped me. And, I had to pray a lot. Lois would always say, pray about it for 3 days. She gave me prayers. I'll share some of my early prayers that I still use. One of them is God. Every prayer starts with God, if it be your will. So just know that. So it's God, if it be your will, can I please not do things to hurt myself anymore? God, if it be your will, can I see this person or situation as you do? She told me I had to take care of myself for God so I could do what God wants me to do. Things like that. And so I had to pray. And another early one of how I come in to find this higher power, we had cassette tapes when I got sober in the glass house, recorded our step studies and our speakers, and they had conference recordings and the big book. And I had the big book on cassette tape. Now I have it on CD, and you can get it free on everything AA app in a bunch of different places. But we didn't have that option when I was new. And so I was listening to recordings of things, and I would hear speakers that I wouldn't have heard. And now I'm getting to see some of them online and meet them in person at conferences, and they're still sober all these years later. So what she told me is, I had to just learn to pray. And she got me in the habit of doing step 11 in the big book. I do my third step prayer, and it's mostly I open my eyes and I make contact with a higher power. And I say, good morning. Thank you for another day. Let today go the way you want. Let me be aware of how you want it to go and people you put in my path and just some stuff. And then I do a 7-step prayer right away. And my 7-step prayer, I used to read out of the Alcoholics Anonymous book, and then I changed it because it says good and bad in there. Well, things I've learned aren't good or bad. They're just lessons and experiences to grow through to share with other people, right? So some of the things I thought were bad, they're not bad. They're just experiences. And it says, before the meeting, somebody used the word humbly. There's a line in our big book, and it says, I'm in the world to play the role that God assigned. And just to the extent I humbly do that, God allows me to match calamity and serenity. And I've been through a lot of stuff, having cancer. And in 2010, I had 4 more surgeries again. And it was my footprint story when I was 4 years sober and got cancer. And I don't have time to tell you, but I would if you call me. But I get to see this higher power showing up. And all the things that she taught me, I had to get in habits and watching how, I wanted to tell you is that when I was listening to those cassette tapes one morning, I was listening to a guy, he's passed away. He was a friend of mine named David A. from Dallas, and you can find recording. But he said some things on his recording. One of them was his mother said, if you turn your back on AA, you're turning your back on God because those people loved you and nobody else did. And he went to his son and said, you need to learn how to talk to them. Tell your sons you want to learn how to talk with them, not to them, at them, or for them. And then one morning on a Sunday, I went to this home group that I went to at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I've been listening to this recording of a guy named David A. in Dallas. And if he ever comes to Fort Worth, I want to hear him. And they pointed across the room and said he was our speaker that morning. And he became a friend of mine. And the day I got my 9-month chip for being sober, he happened to be the speaker at my home group. And he said, if I work it right, it's the last chip I get. And I said, I get one at a year. And he said, no, then I get medallions. And you know what? The other day, one of my friends sent me this beautiful medallion. And on the back, it says, a woman, a sober woman of grace and dignity. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, because that wasn't me when I got here. And I have so many other God stories, and I know I've got a little over 2 minutes to tell you the rest. But what I know is I have to work this program of Alcoholics Anonymous and not really work it, but I live it. And sometimes I have to work it, but mostly I live it. And it says in our Alcoholics Anonymous book, a program allows for limitless expansion. And things aren't always easy. And I was going to read something out of the big book, but I don't want to use that time. But what I'll tell you when I got sober, and you can try this, and if you can keep videos on, you know what? We make friends that way. Because when you're a black square, I don't know who you are. And if we're at other meetings together, we don't get to be friends.
That is
So
2 minutes, Carol. Thank you.
thank you. But what I want to tell you is you can clasp your hands. And they told me when I was new to clasp my hands, and they said, what thumb's in the front? And I said, my right one. They said, switch it so my left thumb's in the front, and asked how it felt. And I said, it feels weird, awkward, uncomfortable, and I don't like it. And they told me every day, clasp my hands a lot. And every time my right thumb's in the front, switch it so my left thumb's in the front. And one day it's going to be automatic and comfortable. And that's what New Actions and Behaviors in Alcoholics Anonymous has been. Learning how to pray when I open my eyes and make contact with a higher power was awkward. And now it's not only comfortable, it's automatic. And I heard somebody a while ago, and he said, how many times a day do you look at your cell phone? And then he said, how many times a day do you make contact with that higher power? And so I try to stick close to that higher power. Another thing Lois taught me is every day, whenever I take an action or make a phone call, say, okay, God, if it be your will, let this go the way you want it to. And I've had amazing God stories I could spend hours telling you. This God, I never know what God's going to have me share, but I was 8 months sober and I wanted a kiss from a guy for Valentine's Day, but I didn't want to call the old boyfriend. So Lois said, pray about it. So I'm praying about it. And guess what? 1st of February, there's a flyer on our bulletin board for a fundraiser for a halfway house treatment center. And I go, and it's a long story to that. But you know what? My friend Kay drove because I didn't want to drive to Dallas. And Willie Nelson was one of the performers, and she wanted his autograph. And so we waited in line for about an hour and a half. And when he got by where we were, Kay says, "Can I have your autograph, please?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Can I have a kiss, please?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Can I have an autograph and a kiss too, please?" And he said, "Yes." And that's not what I would have thought. But see, God thinks bigger than me. And I have a lot of God stories where God thinks bigger than me. So thank you for letting me share.